Hello, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Technology Uncorked. My name is Jeff Quattromani, and this show is brought to you by Navman. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I am a bit of a car guy. I love my cars. I certainly love modern cars, but I love a good classic. And one of the reasons I'm telling you this is that, unfortunately, in the 60s and 70s, when they made some incredible vehicles, they didn't come fitted with GPS systems or any kind of navigation systems at all. So for anyone who does own a classic car, maybe a 66 Mustang or something even cooler, and you need to get yourself from A to B, one of the easiest ways to do that is to not retrofit an entire system into the car because you'll ruin the aesthetics of it all, but just have something mounted to the front windscreen, and Navman sell a range of GPS products that can actually help with that. Now, what I will suggest, though, is that while Navman do sell a bunch of GPS units, I think that if anybody is going to go for one these days, you should really be looking at the MyCam GPS, which is the dash cam with the GPS unit built in, which means on the front, you've got a 5-inch navigation system. You can touch screen. It's going to get you from A to B. It's got all of the features you'd expect out of a proper navigational system. But then on the back, the part that faces outside the window is a 1080p camera. That means full high definition recording into that unit of everything that happens in front of you. Especially if you've got a classic car, heaven forbid anybody wants to collide with you or hurt your vehicle, you will have it all on tape so that if they do run away because they've realized they've damaged a very expensive and special car, you'll always have their number plate and all of the evidence that you need. These are $299. That's a recommended retail price. Always shop around. But at that price, it's crazy. You won't be late for another car meet, and you'll certainly always have evidence should anything, and again, heaven forbid, ever happen on the road in front of you. But ladies and gentlemen, check out the entire range at navman.com.au. Let's get on with another jam-packed tech show right now.
Rasembras ma Jeff Quattromani, multi-Australian in Sydney.
Tech expert Jeff Quattromani.
Jeff Quattromani, thank you very much from Sydney.
Jeff Quattromani is here.
And now it's time to talk technology with Jeff Quattromani.
Jeff Quattromani.
Hello, everybody. Thanks for tuning in.
What the heck? Let's talk tech.
Now, this week, we celebrated International Bourbon Day. And to celebrate that, I've uncorked a bottle of wine. And it's not just any bottle of wine. In the spirit of Bourbon Day, I've packed a Robert Mondavi Cabernet Sauvignon from the Napa Valley. However, this one has lived, the wine lived for a good period of time in bourbon barrels. And they did that to try and introduce some different flavors into the wine. And it certainly works. I've had Mondavi's Cabernet before. So having this bourbon barrel version, you would think is just a marketing gimmick. It's not. Now, I'm not a big bourbon drinker, which is why I've gone for the wine variant of this. And I can tell you straight away that while it does have those typical flavors you expect out of Cabernet, I also get a lot of vanilla. I'm getting a lot of sort of brown sugar and custard and caramel. It's quite interesting that how much it has actually evolved the wine just by spending some time living in old bourbon barrels. So effectively, what they did is they partnered with a bourbon producer. I don't quite know exactly which one it was. And they bought a whole bunch of their barrels. After they spend a lot of time producing the wine, they literally tip it into bourbon barrels. It lives there, I think it's for 6 to 18 months. And then from there, it gets transferred to bottle. And it's a corked wine, which I love. I love uncorking a bottle of wine and it tastes delicious. It's probably the only way you'll actually ever see me having bourbon in my life. I'm just not the kind of guy who goes for those kinds of spirits. It just doesn't suit me. If you're interested in getting into the bourbon barrel wines, Mondavi's doing this one in the Cabernet. They also do a Chardonnay, which obviously, given it's winter, I decided not to go for that. But in the summer, it's quite good. The vanilla comes in super strong on the Chardy. So if you're a bit shy of vanilla tones in your white wines, avoid it. But otherwise, I think this red wine, the Cabernet Sauvignon, is really good. We're talking about like $22 for this bottle of wine, not crazy money. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we have some news this week. So much news. We're going to talk about a transparent OLED TV. We're going to talk about a pretty huge IT outage that seems to be happening more and more often. We'll talk about that. Facial recognition, it seems to be the big thing. And a lot of humans don't like the idea of it. But let's hear what the koalas think about facial recognition. We're also going to talk about how we can answer the question of what are we cooking for dinner tonight? and how we can do that with the use of some technology. And then we're going to jump into, I told you it was a big show, we've got a lot here. We're going to jump into a new TV from an audio company like Bang & Olufsen. IKEA have some new artwork that's going to produce sound. And I went riding in a $20 million mansion in Darling Point. And I'll tell you about what I rode out there and what I actually think of the product as well. So let's get into what I think is a pretty big show. If none of that interests you, thank you for listening. We'll speak to you again next week, but hopefully most of you will stick around. Now let's get straight into the first story I think of this week, which is from LG. LG have developed a transparent OLED panel. So imagine this. Imagine the TV, and if you're near one, have a look at it. Imagine if you could see straight through it. But when they were showing particular text or particular content, you would still see that, but potentially actually see through other parts of the display. Or maybe at times you would see nothing through the display and just see it like it was a normal TV. That's what LG is doing. Now, at this stage, they've got a 55-inch OLED panel with the transparency. And they're actually using it more in a commercial sense. And that usually tends to be the first application for some of this type of technology. And in this case, they're talking about a railway in Korea where you could walk up to what looks like a display, but given that it's transparent, you can still see through the sign while actually also being able to see content such as timetables and whatnot. Now, taking this back, I'm going to say 15 plus years, I was at a show in Sydney called CeBIT, and it was the closest thing that I ever knew to what we now know today as the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas. But CeBIT was where, you know, a lot of the tech companies would show up and pitch a tent. And here we were once upon a time looking at these small display cases. Now, you know, you walk into a jewelry store or something like that, they have stuff in display cases. One of the things I saw, you know, 15 years ago was transparent, I think it was just LED screens, and it was to suit that kind of application where you would have a display case for maybe some jewelry, but when you were looking at the display case, the case itself could show images. It could show content. It would maybe show advertorial images or themes around the product that was inside it. And it blew my mind. I remember looking at this thing just thinking, wow. And here we are now still talking about the type of technology, but potentially in a more commercial sense, but definitely in a larger scale, 55-inch. This, when I looked at it, they were like 15-inch screens. But this is big. Imagine if one day your window is your TV. You know, imagine if we've heard about rollable TVs, but imagine if you didn't have to worry about rollable. You just had a big pane of glass on your wall, and it was the window. And when it was off, you could see through it. When it was on, it was the TV. What if it was your mirror? What if it was something else? I just think this technology is fantastic. So LG, bring it on. It's definitely a start to that one. Now, look, I'm recording this on a Thursday, and today we had another example where a whole bunch of websites just crashed. And I don't mean just the websites. I mean the services behind them as well. So for people outside of Australia, what I'm about to mention are probably some of the biggest banks that we have in the country. Commonwealth Bank, Westpac, ANZ, AMP, Macquarie Bank, I think it was ME Bank, and UBank, I think is one of the other ones. Inside that obviously includes St. George. I don't think NAB was actually affected, but effectively what happened here is we had a CDN, which last week, I think it was last week or the week before, we had a CDN go down and it impacted websites like Amazon and eBay. This time, the CDN seems to have been Akamai, which is another major CDN. There's only about four or five globally. And these CDNs effectively help manage large-scale websites with a global audience. And when something like that goes down, it literally impacts their entire backbone. It's a real problem. So for CBA or these banking companies, you can imagine people can't log into their online banking. They perhaps can't use the app on their phone to actually make payments or to transfer money or to actually check their balance, whatever the case may be. And it wasn't just them. It was also Australia Post. It was a whole bunch of other websites, but a lot of the banks seem to be using Akamai as their backbone. So it's a huge problem. Now, this only happened for around 45 minutes to an hour, but the ongoing effect is always into the 2 or 3 hour mark because systems need to be brought back up. But it's a weird problem that seems to happen on and on again. Let me be clear, in this case, and even in the one last week, they were not cyber attacks. I think this is the first thing that people think about is, was it a cyber attack? That neither of them were. So far, what we can say about today's issue was that it was actually a service within Akamai which failed. And we're talking about, funnily enough, a service that actually helps protect the service, which is called Prolexic. But it's just insane. It's funny to me that when you have 4 or 5 CDNs that effectively manage the entire, say 90% of the internet, as in the major sites, when one of them goes down, it causes huge problems. What would ever happen if they all went down? What would life be like if we just lost most of the websites that we know and love for a period of time? Who knows? I just think it's scary. It seems like we've got all of our eggs in just a few baskets there, but it just, I don't know, it confuses me. Now, just something a little bit more light, because I think that was a bit dark. A little bit more light. How about this? What's the university? Griffith. Griffith University is going to be using artificial intelligence in cameras to identify koalas. Now, why would you think they need to do that? Well, it turns out that they want to monitor movements of koalas. And you could always do that by watching footage and counting the koalas that walk past. But what if one koala walked past and then came back the other way? Is that two koalas or is it the same koala? This is why you need the AI to read their faces. And I had no idea that koalas really had different faces. So the fact that somehow AI, artificial intelligence, is going to read koala faces and determine whether it's koala Bob or koala Joe absolutely blows my mind. And it's crazy because I always thought koalas all look the same. And I've heard that in many other instances before as well. But here we now have a system that's going to read koala faces and tell you where they've been going, how many of them we have. And I hope somebody actually names them. I hope they do put names instead of just koala 1, koala 2. I hope that people give them koala Joe. I think that's a good way to start. Now, after this, we're going to talk about the Supercook app. You're going to love this. Then we're going to jump into some news about IKEA. Then we've got some news from Bang & Olufsen. And then we're going to talk about my riding experience in a 20, I think it was at least 20, $20 million mansion. It's crazy. For a lot of people listening, perhaps it's the morning commute and it's not a problem right now. Or maybe you're still thinking about what the heck you're going to cook for dinner. Do I need to pick anything up? I might have something in the fridge. Would I need other ingredients to actually make a meal out of it? Happens all the time. People ring their husbands or wives and say, what are we cooking for dinner tonight? I don't know. What's in the fridge? I don't know. Some sausages and some bread. What do we do with that? Even I can think of something to do with that. But if you can't, I want to tell you about this thing. It's called Supercook. Now, it can just be a website. You go to supercook.com. Or you can download the app for iOS or Android, whatever you like. And effectively, you just type in some of your ingredients that you've got. So you've got literally categories where you can search through categories if you want, or you can just free text and type what you want and it will help you, you know, determine exactly what you're trying to talk about. But in my experience, I have literally been typing in things like flour or potatoes, or I type in beef and you say maybe it's minced beef, whatever, or beef mince. And it's so quick. What I do love is that Supercook is not a recipe website or app. What it does is it scours the entire internet, which is obviously full of recipes from every other website that ever thinks they can produce them. And it uses their ingredients list to try and pull together suggestions for you. So you could type in 2 ingredients and it's going to give you hundreds of recipes that contain those 2 ingredients. Sometimes it will be just those 2 ingredients, if you actually want it to be that way. Sometimes it will actually say, okay, I can see you've got this and this, but do you also have this ingredient? So say, for example, you've got pasta and you've got some mince. It may say, that's good, but do you have maybe a jar of pasta sauce? Because if so, I've got a recipe for you. But it actually goes into a lot more detail than that as well. So it's worth checking out. I've just been playing with it. I haven't necessarily had a moment where I've had to really brainstorm and actually use it for a real world situation, but I know a lot of people who do. And in conversations I've been having on the radio about this, people are saying, man, this makes so much sense. I needed this yesterday. I needed this last week. So why not share it with you guys as well? It's called supercook.com. They're not advertising here or anything like that. This is just me finding something that could be useful to all of you listeners. It's very interesting and it doesn't have to be dinner. By the way, let me be very clear. It doesn't have to be just dinner. It could be anything you want to make. If you've got ingredients, even cocktails, anything. Just type it in and it will come up with some sort of recipes for you. It's bizarre. It's very, very cool. Super cook. It's look it up. It's free. Obviously free. I haven't even seen an ad. So go ahead. Enjoy it. Have a little bit of a look at that. Now, something completely crazy is from a company called Bang & Olufsen. I love Bang & Olufsen. I think they make incredible headphones. I have used a soundbar of theirs before. Very expensive, very premium. Same thing with their headphones, but you can get more affordable models in their headphones. But they focus on audio. That's their specialty. They know how to make really good audio. What they've decided to announce this week is a TV. Now, I didn't know they had any prowess in televisions. I knew it was them in audio. So here is a 55-inch TV, not massive, but it looks like artwork. What I mean by that is, obviously, it's got your big black rectangle, which is your television. But the soundbar, which sits flush underneath it, wraps around the entire frame. So you've got this beautiful gold trimming around the entire 55-inch TV. So you don't have that typical black or silver framing. And then the soundbar is really nicely integrated. The good thing that I can tell you is that it actually is an OLED panel from LG. So it's a 55-inch LG OLED panel, which is good news. And then it's got the Bang & Olufsen soundbar. Why on earth Bang & Olufsen thought that they would just take this upon themselves to do it so that it was their own idea, I don't quite understand that. What's even more bizarre is that the soundbar, while it's built into the same frame and look as the television, actually still has a very visible cable that goes from the soundbar to the TV. Like, they couldn't even cover it up with casing or plastic or something. You can literally unplug the soundbar. It's dumb. That's a very dumb thing to do, Bang & Olufsen. I don't know why you did that. However, to tell you a little bit about the soundbar, we are talking about something that has 11 speakers or speaker drivers and it's got amplifiers. It's got four-inch bass drivers as well, which will give you a nice, obviously, bass, but it's instead of having a separate subwoofer. So I think it's a very impressive piece of kit. I'm sure it will sound good. And given it's an OLED panel, I expect it will also look good, despite being 55 inches, which is no longer the norm. Definitely not the norm. But there's a price. Just like everything, there is a price. $12,249. Now, we've spoken about TVs quite a bit in the last couple of weeks, and that's ludicrous. That is bonkers, because you can go and buy an LG OLED TV, and you could also go and buy that Bang & Olufsen soundbar that I've spoken about in the past. I think it was $4,000. The TV from LG might cost you $2,500 to $3,000. The soundbar from Bang & Olufsen could cost you $4,000, and it's a bigger soundbar with more speakers, and it wouldn't cost you anywhere near the $12,000 mark. But if you want it all integrated slightly, then it's going to cost you $12,500. I don't know. Someone's smoking something. Now, lastly, before we get into one of the bigger parts of this week, I want to talk about something from IKEA. Now, this is not the first time that IKEA has worked with Sonos. And here we are again talking about another product, which is IKEA plus Sonos. Now, in the past, the IKEA and Sonos collaboration has meant a speaker that looked like it was a bit of a bookshelf kind of device that you could literally wall mount and then place a book on top of it if you wanted to. They also had a lampshade that looked like a pretty funky lampshade, but the base of the lampshade, the part that where the globe sits on top of, that was actually a Sonos speaker. The good part about both of those products is that they're powered. They aren't smart, as in they don't have voice assistant features built in, but they can be controlled through the Sonos app, and Sonos is heavily involved in the engineering side of the speakers. So they do sound good for a Sonos speaker. That's as they should. Now we have one more piece of, I'm going to say, artwork coming from IKEA with Sonos. And it looks like a piece of canvas. You know those canvas artworks that you can buy? It looks like that. Not a big one, but that's effectively what it is. We're talking about something that you could wall mount, or you could just rest on a table and lean back against the wall, would still look kind of cool. And it's called the picture frame. in the IKEA naming standards, it's translated to Symfonisk, because that's what IKEA does. However, it's quite an interesting looking thing. Now, the front of it, the actual art component, can be changed. And IKEA has said that they're going to be releasing two more, even at the point of this thing being released, that you can interchange the artwork that's actually on there. The one that I'm seeing in the press images looks like a bit of a like a spiderweb brain map kind of thing. It looks a bit like a net. Very abstract, probably not my kind of art, but it's not the worst thing I've ever seen. Obviously, it's art plus sound. And I gotta say, I like the appeal of that. I love the idea. If you're very conscious about interior design, I love the idea of having things on the wall or resting on a dresser or a bedside table, whatever it is, that serves two functions. I love stuff that serves multiple functions. And that means that you could get sound, plus you could also be looking at something. Now, obviously, we're talking about a Wi-Fi speaker here. However, it does require a power cord. And you'll also have different ways that you can move and integrate that power cord into your system as well. So you can actually have it running from the bottom. You can have it running from the side or the top, depending on how you're mounting it. So you could actually put it through a wall if you really wanted to. So it's very cool to have that. They've talked a lot about how they're focused on managing vibration and bass rattling, because they don't want it to, you know, when you've got a song that's pumping, they don't want the wall and the picture frame sort of vibrating against each other. In the same sense that if it was resting on a dresser, you don't really want that vibration coming there either. So there is a woofer, there's a tweeter built in. It's pretty interesting. Now, I'm not going to say how good it sounds. I haven't tested it. I haven't even seen it in person. It doesn't look very big. It looks like it's the size of like a 15-inch, 16-inch screen. Not massive. It does have AirPlay 2, which I'm a big fan of. It's got Spotify Connect as well. And you can actually pair two of the frames together to run them in stereo. So if you wanted to do a left and right speaker, you could do that if you had two of them available. Now, if you're in the United States and you're listening to this, you actually can go and buy this as of the 15th of July. Unfortunately for Australians, when I spoke to Sonos this week, we won't get access to it until perhaps January, February, potentially even March next year. So that's quite sad. We don't know what the price translates to in Australia yet. However, in the US, it's going to cost you $200 or $199, and the additional artwork panels will cost you $20 each. So exciting. I think I'm just, unless I hear it, I can't really make a decision, because I'm already looking at the piece of artwork that it comes as standard. I'm not a fan. But if it sounds really good, you could probably make exceptions. And then if the other two pieces of content that can be bought to stick on top, if that looks good, then maybe this actually is a really cool idea. What I think would be better is if you could actually, with the right measurements, add your own canvas over the top of it. That would be cool, because then you could have a family photo or something like that doubling up as a speaker. That's a pretty cool idea. Anyway, let me know what you think about that one. Is it crazy? Is it kooky? Do you like it? I don't know. Let's take a quick break, and then we're going to talk about this bike, this crazy smart bike. Got to say one thing about this this wine, when it's got this bourbon infusion in it, is that if you don't love bourbon, as the wine warms up, that flavor of the bourbon really comes through stronger as you go. So I almost feel like sticking it in the fridge to try and hide that flavor a little bit more, because it's getting a bit tangy on the bourbon side, which I'm not crazy about. But it's very interesting. If you love your bourbon, this might be the perfect wine for you. Now, a couple of weeks ago, well, last week, I went into Darling Point. And if you're not from Sydney or you don't know where Darling Point is, it's a pretty glitzy part of the world. I'll be honest, some nice houses out there, pretty damn nice houses. And I was invited there as a guest of Peloton. We've spoken about Echelon, which is one of their biggest competitors. I've been riding their bike for a long time. And I got the opportunity to try Peloton, which is coming to Australia next month. And it's exciting because while Echelon has been here and has a service ready to go, Peloton is the company that everyone knows. Peloton is the Apple to the Samsung of Echelon in a lot of ways. And the news that they're coming to Australia certainly piques a lot of interest. They're opening stores, one in Bondi Junction and one in Martin Place, both in New South Wales, funnily enough, but I believe one in Melbourne is coming pretty quickly. And the opportunity to go and try the bike, obviously ahead of the launch, was really exciting for me. Given that I've tried the Echelon bike already and have a good understanding of what the concept is and what they're trying to offer as a service, I kind of felt like I was in the right position to be doing this. I think a lot of people, which I met at the event, were hearing about all of this for the first time, had never even been on a spin bike before, and had also not even heard about this type of integration. They maybe thought that Peloton was the only ones who did that. So it was interesting for me to go. Now, first and foremost, before I even tell you about the bike, I park in front of this home. Now, from the street, all I could really see was a double garage and a path that would effectively lead to the front door. It wasn't a tall building. It looked single story from the outside, but I knew it was quite high up in terms of an elevation. I knew that there was water somewhat near me, but it was quite far down. I would assume having to drive down quite a hill to get to the water. So I park the car and I go in. And imagine Tony Stark as in Iron Man's house. Concrete floors, concrete walls, amazing bits of timber forming a door, and beams that looked like they were ripped straight out of trees and then just hung up on the ceiling, as if it was designed by some crazy interior designers. I walked into this home, just jaw dropped. And the opposite side of those garages was just glass that would look out to effectively the ocean. And I could see boats, I could see ferries going by. And then I realized that the house actually goes down the hill. About four different levels of the house flow down the hill. And on one level, every level had their own deck or balcony, but the bottom one had the best one, which had a very huge pool, spa, just the works. I wish I could have stayed there. It would have been amazing. But whoever owns this place, congratulations to them. I had a quick peek on real estate. I think it sold like 5 years ago for $20-something million. Insane. Anyway, we had a quick briefing, and then I got shown to a room. Apparently there's like 15 rooms in this place, and we all got our own room, which tells you there was a lot of bedrooms with a lot of bikes set up. And then we get taken in, and inside that room I met a Peloton representative, who actually turns out she's going to be the operations manager, I believe, for Peloton Australia, which is pretty cool. And this bedroom, while it does have a bed in there and things like that, has the same view that I had from upstairs of the ocean, has its own private balcony, just insane. Anyway, I see the bike and I straight away get into my game mode of, okay, I know what Echelon has. I literally have one here still. I can start to compare. What I can tell you about Peloton is this: their bikes feel more premium than the Echelon bikes. They have built-in screens, whereas the Echelon one, you provide your own iPad or something like that. So in this case, you've got what I tested was called the Bike Plus, and the Bike Plus has a 24-inch touchscreen. It's quite beautiful. It's all integrated into the handlebars and things like that, so it fits really well. It actually has its own built-in speakers as well into the screen panel. But it has Bluetooth, so you can connect headphones to it. In fact, it also has a 3.5mm jack if you've got poor man's headphones. You can just plug them in and listen to music as well. What I did appreciate as soon as I saw the bike was that it also has GymKit integration with your Apple Watch. So if you have an Apple Watch, you can walk up to the bike, tap it on the screen, bang, you're now logging that workout on your Apple Watch. With Echelon, it does synchronize your workouts with Fitbit and Strava, but not a necessary Apple Watch integration like that. It's very, very smart of Peloton to do that, obviously requiring some kind of relationship with Apple at the same time. The actual service that it offers, classes, especially from a spin side, they vary from 5 minutes to 90 minutes, very similar to what Echelon offer. They do live classes and on demand. What I can also tell you is that Peloton has a much larger community. And I know that because when I join rides live or on demand through Echelon, I might see that 1,000 people have joined that ride in a period of time. Whereas with Peloton, a lot of rides that I stepped into had 10,000, 20,000, 30,000 people who've ridden it, sometimes a lot more than that. So quite impressive. I believe they actually have around 5 million members globally. Some of those members include Justin Bieber, Usain Bolt, and a number like Alicia Keys and others. And apparently, as you'd expect, sometimes you'll see them on the leaderboard when you're in a ride and they're also doing the same ride, that you'll see them on the screen. Not on the screen, but you'll see their name appear on the leaderboard, provided you're close in speed and stuff like that with them. So it's pretty cool, and I do appreciate that. I do appreciate, and even with Echelon, I appreciate the fact that you can be in a ride. You're sitting in a room by yourself. The trainer is in New York, in Chattanooga, in Echelon's case, or London, or wherever it may be. But the people in the class could be anywhere in the world at any time. It could be their morning. It could be their evening. It could be their lunch break. I love that camaraderie that you are sitting there among other people and you don't feel actually alone. And actually, as a result, you don't want to leave the class early or bail halfway through because you kind of feel responsible to everybody else that's also there. It's an interesting sensation. But I got into it. They do have real music, just like with Echelon, that you'll understand the music. You can also search by genre. So if you just want to work out to hip hop, you can do that. They have a number of trainers as well, about 34 different trainers, I think it was. And that's great. You usually tend to find a trainer that you like and then you stick with that. What I will also say is off bike, there's plenty of things that you can be doing as well. Just like with Echelon, there are classes, whether it's yoga or HIIT or boxing. That's all built into the app as well. So you can either do it through an Apple TV, through the Peloton screen, you can actually rotate it, or on your smartphone, whatever you like, and you can follow other kinds of workouts that don't include the bike. That's a really nice thing to have. And obviously with Echelon, the same thing applies. The one thing I'll say though, with Echelon, they also have Zumba. And I believe that's a licensed thing. So if you're a Zumba person, you can get that through Echelon, but not in Peloton. So there is that point of difference to note if you care about Zumba. I don't, but some people do. What was really cool to hear is that Peloton has hired a lady, I forget her name, but she's an Aussie, and she's now moved to the US, and she's a yoga instructor on Peloton. I love that. I watched one of her yoga sessions. I didn't do it because I don't like yoga. But yeah, it's crazy. It's awesome. You get to hear an Australian accent in a class, which is really, really quite nice to hear. You know, it's like, it feels like home. I do appreciate that. Now, my experience was great. The bike was smooth, jumped into a class, got straight on with Bluetooth headphones. It was all good. Another point of difference, as you were riding, you set your resistance to begin with, you feel comfortable. And then in the class, the instructor, guy or girl, says, all right, we're going to turn it up a bit and we're going to stand, you know, to do some more uphill kind of riding. Now with Echelon, when they tell you that, they usually say, now add, you know, 3 or 4 resistance. So say, for example, you're on resistance 10, you're going to wind it up to 15 or something like that to get to that speed that they want you to potentially be at. With Peloton, it's optional, but it was already always automatically on for me. The instructor adjusts your bike. So here's, let me paint that picture for you again. Instructors in New York, you're in Sydney, you're in a live class or on demand, and you're riding, and then she says, all right, we're going to get up. There's a hill. Not that there actually is a hill. There's a virtual hill, and your bike suddenly starts to feel tough, sticky, so you stand up naturally. That is so cool, and I love that feeling that I don't even have to think about turning the dial on the bike. This lady, this guy who I'm watching is going to do it all for me. So cool. If you don't like that, you can obviously override and choose your own settings. But that's a really, really cool feature. Now, the biggest thing to talk about at the end of all of this is price. Now, I did say it had a built-in screen, a 24-inch screen, which is bigger than I can get out of an iPad Pro. It does have its own speakers. It does have that self-adjust feature. So there's some really cool pros available here. The biggest con for the Peloton bike is the price. Just like anything that's super premium, price is going to be the problem. Now, the Echelon range, such as the bike that I've been using, the EX3, which has, you know, BYO iPad or tablet, starts at $14.99. So $14.99, then you've got to, you know, buy an iPad if you don't already have one, or any tablet to have your display. So $14.99 is your starting price. Whereas the Peloton range, the cheapest version of the bike, so not the Bike Plus that I was using, the one which has a smaller display, that starts at $28.95. So $28.95, almost $1,500 more just to have the Peloton. Yes, it has its own screen, but it's a lot of money. That's a lot of iPad. So that's a bit of a problem there, is I think that their upfront cost is super premium. The monthly plan, so access to the classes, Echelon, you pay $59 a month. With Peloton, it's also $59 a month. So at least your ongoing costs are the same. The problem is that there's no crossover there. That if, you know, in my mind, I was thinking, okay, maybe Peloton's more expensive up front, but then maybe if it's $10 a month less than Echelon, that you have a payoff where, you know, it crosses over and actually starts to become a cheaper bike over time. Nope, not going to be the case. So if you're still interested, and I don't see why, you know, you would literally switch off just based on the price there. But I think it's an amazing product. I only got to use it for a short period of time. I really enjoyed it. I think a lot of it comes down to trying it yourself and experiencing it. The good thing here is that Peloton, with the stores that they're opening, they're actually literally asking you to book a time. So you book a time, they have a room that they leave you alone in. They show you how to get on the bike, show you how to get used to it, put you in a class, walk away, let you ride, do a 20-minute class and, you know, experience the bike. Then they walk you to a shower. You can go and shower, get cleaned up, and then maybe have a conversation with them afterwards after you're refreshed again. So they're doing a really smart in-store experience, whereas with Echelon, it's kind of one of those things you have to buy, and if you don't like it, you return it. They've got this whole money-back guarantee kind of system. So anyway, worth checking out. When they do open their stores, I'll be sure to get into them. I need to see what these stores look like. I've been told they're very Apple-esque, and that's kind of exciting to hear as well. I'm assuming, you know, a lot of light-colored timber and white in those rooms, but so we'll wait and see on that. But Peloton's coming, guys. We only have to wait less than a month, and the stores will be open in Australia. Now, I was meant to add that if you want to know about all of that that I've been talking about with those bikes in a bit more detail, I wrote a piece for 7news.com.au, and you can go and read that in the technology section there. Now, look, thank you so much for listening. Thank you for downloading. And I hope you're a subscriber, or I hope I managed to convert you today to subscribe so you can get more episodes from me in the future. Look, I love doing the podcast. I love being able to write as well when I can. What I will say is that lately, as much as I enjoy appearing in major publications like 7news, The Australian, Men's Health, and others, I do think that at some point I may just start my own site. The podcast is great, and it's probably the one thing I enjoy the most every week is talking to you guys. I feel like I'm talking direct to you because I do give out a mobile number that you can text me on, and I get feedback. I receive messages on Instagram and Facebook, which I love, and Twitter. But I feel like at some point I may just bite the bullet and start my own technology uncorked website. I don't know what that would be called. Always open to suggestions from you guys on what I could call that site. But yeah, maybe I should do that. Maybe I should just have my own site and I can just write as much as I like about anything I like on that platform. It will have the podcast on there. It would have all my videos there. And then if I did a TV, radio, whatever segment, I can bring it back onto that platform as well. So I don't know. Been thinking about these things a lot, especially after a glass of wine. It does make you think. Always interested in your feedback. 0467-439-078. If you've made it this far, thank you so much for listening. And I will speak to you again next week. There will be interview episodes coming back again. We've been lining up a couple of those, which I'm looking forward to bringing to you as well. So stay safe, look after each other, and we'll speak again soon. Bye-bye.